This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Last night, as the Yankees defeated the Cleveland Guardians 6-3, they did make a few mistakes. That happens. It was not a perfect game by any stretch. We talked about Gerrit Cole struggling, not being able to get through the fifth inning. But in the bottom of the sixth inning, this is when I think Yankee fans probably had their most agita. And that was when they were set up for a big inning, leading only 3-2. They got a leadoff double by Jazz Chisholm, his first hit in a while. And then I walk to Anthony Volpe, and they're set up. First and second, nobody out, here we go. And then we saw a cavalcade of Yankee base-running mistakes. And that's very important, because before we get to the grand conclusion from the great John Sterling, you need to see the story that was being written. It wasn't just John flippantly saying the Yankees run the bases like, quote, a bunch of drunks.
Run the bases like drunks.
That's the headline. But remember, there were things that led to this. So earlier in that inning, Jazz Chisholm leads off second. First and second, nobody out. And this happens.
There goes Chisholm, and he's going to be picked off. The throw to second, he's picked off. Of course, the Yankees, that's how they run the bases, so I don't know where he was going and what he was doing, and I don't understand why. So now you can forget about the bunt.
I don't get it.
I really don't get it. Where was he going?
You see, John's angry. This didn't just come out of nowhere. He was not done because, of course, Jazz Chisholm made the fatal mistake of saying, hey, I was safe. Please challenge it. For some reason, Aaron Boone, I guess, figuring, hey, I've got two challenges. Why not? Does challenge it. And after it's revealed that Jazz Chisholm is still out, John Sterling is still pissed.
Well, that's terrible. He was dancing off second. He was inviting them to pick him off. And they didn't.
He was inviting them to pick him off.
Now, it was revealed after the game that what was happening was they were going to try to execute a double steal. That's what was happening. Just so we now have full context to it. Not saying it's okay. Not saying it makes you feel better. But it was revealed after the game that they were thinking about a double steal.
Did you have this about or called?
I think they were calling it, actually. I think he was going to run on that pitch.
And Susan was on with BT and Sal earlier, and she actually added to this, saying that the Yankees simply forgot it was no longer Naylor behind the plate, and it was Hedges, who actually is like a real catcher. And it was that lapse where the base runners were like, oh, no, wait, we forgot this is a different catcher. Now we can actually do this.
John, of course, pissed off, as you can hear in those clips. So, of course, when another out is made on the base paths, you can only imagine the way John felt about that.
And Rizzo is going to be picked off. He's in the middle between second and third. Hedges now throws to second. On the way to third, back to second, back to third, tagged out, end of inning. Boy, if that wasn't the Yankees, that's what they do. Run the bases like drunks.
Now, John is right about something. As much as Aaron Boone has defended this throughout the season, They are a bad base running team.
Mm-hmm. Run the bases like
Why
drunks.
Why is that, though?
I don't know. Because Jazz Chisholm, who hasn't been here long enough to really form a strong opinion.
He's like such a good athlete. You would think he'd be, and he's not like he's in his second year or his rookie season. He's been around for a minute.
Right.
So shouldn't he have experience?
Well, forget Jazz. How about Anthony Rizzo?
Yeah, but Rizzo's
Yeah, but he's smart. He's been around for a million years.
I understand that, but he's not quick. So as soon as he's like compromised, he's like, oh, crap, I'm dead.
But you can't, there's two outs and a runner on second. Like, I'd argue Anthony Rizzo's one was actually worse. Mm. Because he's Anthony Rizzo. At least in Jazz Chisholm's case, they're trying to execute a double steal.
Right. And Jazz, because he is so athletic, you can maybe get away with taking a risk.
Right.
With Rizzo, you're not getting away with anything.
No, let Gleyber Torres hit. But the Yankees, and John expressed this. This is why, because John's getting a lot of attention for, the Yankees run like drunks.
Run the bases like drunks.
And I understand, but in fairness to John, I think it's only fair to show that there was a build-up to this. It wasn't just him saying, they run like a bunch of drunks.
Run the bases like drunks.
Like, there was something that led to this, which is other bad base running.
Maybe they were taking shots at the top of the sixth inning, bottom of the sixth inning.
Look, all the metrics tell you they're a bad base running team. And Aaron's been pushed on this, and Aaron has said, it's not true. And usually the guy who takes the most heat is Gleyber Torres. Gleyber had his comeuppance because he was the one who was up hoping to get an at-bat with a guy in scoring position, and he's been so locked in, he had three more hits yesterday, that Gleyber was the one who stood there saying, come on, guys.
Right.
Give me that opportunity to drive a run in.
Torres is the one telling you guys you're running the bases poorly, and you're running the bases poorly.
That's right. And maybe Gleyber even said, hey, guys. You're running the bases like drunks.
Run the bases like drunks.
But maybe it was the best thing for the Yankees that unfolded.
Why is that? Wake them up?
No, because in the very next inning, Gleyber Torres has the best at-bat possible.
Great at-bat. Right.
And in shaking the ball to right field, and what did that set up?
Aaron Judge's two-run home run.
It may have set up an awakening that doesn't get there for Judge if those guys had stayed on.
That is a real reach, Brian.
Right. Well, my back hurts from reaching, but I'm going to make the point.
If Judge is leading off the inning. Right?
Yeah.
Or at least Soto goes out and then Judge is leading off the inning.
I think that, first of all, I respect both of you guys for trying to figure out how this is a positive. I think the reality is, and this is really the most important thing.
If Judge hit a solo home run, would it have been impactful?
Honestly, I don't think the home run was overly impactful anyway. I mean, it was a big one to make it 4-2 to 6-2. I'm not saying it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But I think for most Yankee fans that are waiting for that Judgian moment, it's going to be, you know, a game-winning three-run home run in the eighth inning when they're trailing by two. He's hit postseason home runs before. He's hit more significant postseason home runs before. So I think more than anything, Judge's home run yesterday was not about signature moments. It was about getting him hot, just getting his bat going. Because if he gets his bat going, this offense is very tough to pitch to.
That might be well and true. The Yankees are absolutely clenching butt cheeks with a 4-2 lead in Weaver yesterday, especially with Ramirez hitting off the homer.
I'm not saying it wasn't significant in terms of making a 4-2 game, a 6-2 game. I'm saying it wasn't like this defining Aaron Judge home run. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean,
it's really not. I mean, there will be others, you hope.
Sure.
That'll be defining Aaron Judge home run.
I guess I don't disagree with that. We're splitting hairs. But to me, this wasn't, you know, up 7-2. Here's A-Rod, you know?
No. It's not up 8-2. I'm not saying it was a window wash home run. I'm saying they were up 4-2. It wasn't down 3-2. Either way, at a home run, and they hope it gets them going. But I think the lesson from the base running, and this has been going on all year, is clean that crap up. Because one of these days, it's going to cost you a game.
Right.
It did not cost them a game last night because their pitching's been so awesome. But clean that crap up. Now, I thought it was very interesting. The manager of this team, Aaron Boone, was asked a very direct question about how they're playing. And I want you to hear the question. And before we listen to Aaron Boone, we could actually answer it for Aaron on how we feel the Yankees are playing. So here's the question and how it was posed to the manager of the Yankees right after they won game two.
I'm curious, based on these last 2 days, would you say that you're content with the performance the team delivered in these first two? Are you happy with it? Are you enthused by it? Like, where are you at given some of the, you know, the sloppy base running things that happened today?
Now, Tiki Barber, you're Aaron Boone. How would you answer that?
I'd say content. That's an interesting way to ask that question. We won the game. That's what I would say.
By the way, that's exactly how I'd answer it. I'd look at him and say, we're up 2-0. And then I'd probably throw in like a curse word, just to really add emphasis to it. I'd say, we're up 2-0, bitch. Like something like that. And then that's it. That would be the answer to my question. So we're on the same page.
Right.
Would you say that bad word too, or just me?
I'd probably use the MF-er.
You sit in traffic now, but later, There's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Really?
Yeah.
You go MF-er on that.
Yep. You're trying to get me with some nonsense.
Shut your mouth.
I wish Dinky ran into the Yankees. All right, Sean, as a giddy Yankee fan, how would you answer that question?
Smile, of course.
Of course.
We have plenty of room for improvement, but we're pretty damn happy being up 2-0 and doing everything we can to win
the game. Now, here's the answer from the manager of the New York Yankees. Play the question one more time so we can hear it again.
It's all in front of us still.
Yeah, it's all right in front of us, and then we'll hear how the manager answers.
Curious, based on these last 2 days, would you say that you're content with the performance the team delivered in these first two? Are you happy with it? Are you enthused by it? Like, where are you at, given some of the, you know, the sloppy base running things that happened today?
Where you at, Aaron?
It's about getting wins. Like, I mean, we're in the postseason.
Yeah. Tell him.
You know, I mean, those things are going to happen. We're going for a double steal. If he gets thrown out at third, you don't say anything, but he got picked off doing it. So it's going to happen. We're not going to not be aggressive in certain situations. Try and guard against it as best we can, and then Riz just had a funky read on what he thought kind of ended up going to the backstop. So, you know, I feel overall we're playing pretty well.
Damn right. Mm-hmm. Here's the reality, Aaron.
Solid.
If you lose a game because of bad base running, then plays like this will be cited as, see, right, this was a problem all year.
And then answer the question. But if you don't need to answer that question, we won.
Yeah, you're up 2-0.
We won.
I mean, despite things not being perfect for the New York Yankees, again, they have played 6 postseason games and they're 5-1. And that's with base running mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's with Aaron Judge not doing an awful lot. That's with Jazz Chisholm not doing an awful lot. That's with Anthony Rizzo missing the first round of the postseason. That's with all of those things. And yet you're 5-1 and you're 2 wins away from a World Series. So, yeah, you want to clean it up. You want to play better. You're worried that, hey, maybe that mistake in a Game 3 in Cleveland or a Game 4 in Cleveland comes back and haunts us.
Run the bases like drunks.
John Sterling is the best for a myriad of reasons. It's not just the home run calls. That gets all the attention. The other reason why John Sterling is great is he is going to tell you how he feels. Mm-hmm. And what
especially
he,
at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's out of retirement.
Yeah.
You know, he's done. He doesn't care.
And when he gets pissed off, I've learned this about John, he's going to harp on it. It's not going to end. There was a bullpen decision like 9 years ago about Ian Kennedy when he was on the Yankees. And John went on for 5 minutes. You know, this just does not make sense, Susan. Ian Kennedy? What? I mean, the pitch is inside. Like, what are you doing? I can't get over it.
All right, here's the scoreboard, John. It's 4-2.
You know, why is Ian Kennedy in this game? Like, he gets so pissed off about it. But you got to respect that. Hence why he called the Yankees a bunch of drunks for running the bases yesterday. Let's go to Tommy in Westbury. What's up, Tommy?
How you doing, guys? I'm a Met fan watching the Yankee game last night. I'm in shock that you could play that bad and still win a baseball game. Hopefully, if we played them in the World Series, they continue playing like that, because that would make me very happy.
Yeah, I disagree with you. If they pitch like this, they're going to be tough to beat. Mm-hmm. Now, you can look at base running and say, hey, those are bad mistakes. You're giving away runs on the bases, and you're right. But I'd also say their bullpen's been almost flawless. And the New York Mets, to their credit, have been feasting on bullpens. They destroyed the Philadelphia Phillies. They did a very good job against the Dodgers in Game 2. So I understand what you're trying to say,
yeah,
but I don't think you're looking at the entire picture.
Well, it's easier said than done. I think that's what he's saying.
What do you mean?
Meaning, if the Yankees play poorly, then the Mets, if they get there, can win. But the reality is the Mets also have had troubles with starting with great pitching.
Well, but also when you say a team is playing poorly, and that's why the question, and I thought it was interesting.
Like, it doesn't, I think.
Well, no, you were talking about one aspect of their team.
Yeah.
Their pitching has been ridiculously good. So when someone calls in and says, if the Yankees play like this, they'll lose, they're ignoring one complete aspect of a team. They have a 2.5 ERA. Mm. See, I would disagree and say, if the Yankees continue to pitch like this, they're going to win a World Series. I mean, am I wrong?
No.
If their bullpen gives up nothing outside of a meaningless home run to Jose Ramirez in the ninth inning, then the Yankees aren't losing despite those other areas of their game in which they're not playing well. They're pitching incredibly well. Why that gets dismissed, I don't understand.
I don't think it gets dismissed. I think it's just you don't know if you trust that it's going to always be that way. Garrett Cole, yes, but maybe not because it's two of his three starts this postseason haven't been fantastic.
So my retort to that is, if you don't trust the pitching's going to stay that way, you're going to trust that Aaron Judge is going to hit 135?
No.
It's like you pick your spots to either believe in a team or criticize a team.
Right. So it's just a matter of perspective. It's just what you want to hear yourself say.
Yes.
I agree with you.
That's why, because their pitching's been awesome right now. I mean, Luke Weaver finally gave up a run last night, and I think you got to feel decent about it, Sean. I know you were worried about him.
Yeah.
He gave up a home run with a 4-run lead in the ninth inning.
You're
and then
right.
Proceeded to get the next two guys out.
No doubt about it, but that was just what I saw the night before. I think that we could be getting close to a Weaver implosion. That's in the back of my mind right
Did
now.
You not want to go to Weaver last night, 4-run lead, ninth inning?
You wanted him to chill?
I wanted them to go to Ian Hamilton last night, and also, something we alluded to earlier, give them less looks at Weaver. There was no reason in that spot. Ramirez now saw him, tattooed him, and that could come into play.
I'm going to give you my reason why they had to go to Luke Weaver last night. Makes a lot of sense. And I've actually had this discussion a lot with Met fans about Diaz on the Rico over the last few months. So you have a 4-run lead. The dangerous thing about a 4-run lead is people get lost, Tiki, in the stat. Oh, it's not a safe situation.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not a safe situation. Who gives a rat's ass if it's a safe situation or not? Like, who cares if Luke Weaver gets a save or not? Does anybody care? No. So let's throw that one away. That doesn't matter. That's a stat. If you go to Ian Hamilton and the leadoff man gets on, are you going to warm up Luke Weaver?
Yeah.
So one base runner and you're warming up Luke Weaver.
Warming him.
Okay, warming a guy up, like, is a thing. This isn't a video game where you press a button and, well, he warmed up but he never pitched, so we saved him. Like, you're going to warm him up anyway. The likelihood with a 4-run lead in a playoff game is that Luke Weaver is warming up in the ninth inning. Do you not agree with that statement?
No, I agree.
Okay, so if you're going to warm him up at a 90% clip, why not just stop screwing around and go to him?
For everything I just said, give me three less batters looking at him.
Yeah, but you're likely to have to go to him.
No, you're not. Hamilton can't have a 1-2-3 inning?
You're right. He could have a 1-2-3 inning, and that's the perfect scenario. Puts a guy on base, right? You got Luke Weaver warming up. Let's say he puts a second guy on base. What are you doing? Can't take him out yet. Got to face third batter.
Okay.
2-1, one out. You going to Luke Weaver?
I guess I am at
that point. Asking you a question. Like, honestly, just give me the answer, because I don't know. Tiki, would you go to Luke Weaver at that point?
The score is still
6-2, 2-1, one out, ninth inning.
No.
All right, so again.
I don't think I am.
Okay, what about bases loaded?
Probably.
You're damn right you are.
Right.
So, like, this comes back to, you're right, you could paint every scenario. I also, and maybe I'm naive, have a lot of trust in two guys we haven't seen in what feels like 3 weeks, Ian Hamilton and Jake Cousins.
Okay.
So, to me, at that point, you had Hamilton loose anyway. I would have liked to see him go after
If it wasn't 6-2 and it was 5-2, would you have gone to Luke Weaver in the ninth inning?
I think the one run was a big difference. I do.
Okay. That's called he's listening to the stats too much.
No, that, to me, that's nothing to do about a save.
Yeah, it's a save situation.
It's harder
as if
to
that matters. What does it matter if it's called a save
Evan,
or not?
It's harder to fathom them getting to four runs than it is three runs. That's just simple math.
Yeah, it's one less base runner, but my point to you is this. When you have a four-run lead, like you have a comfortable lead, but not fully. It's not a, hey, I could shut the TV off kind of lead. You have an eight-run lead, I'm with you. So with a four-run lead, my attitude is, why mess around, especially when I have an off day the next day?
Right.
Let me just finish the game off, not get cute, and win the game. And that's why Aaron Boone was 1,000% right to just go to Luke Weaver and not mess around.
Again, Cleveland saw him for two innings the inning before. You could have held him back, and now we got three straight days coming up after this day off. I just thought that was the spot to not use him. That's all.
Okay. Well, if they get a sweep, they're not going to have to play three straight days.
True. And you know what? You're right. Series is already over. So
then they're going to have a week off,
right,
potentially.
Didn't you say it was a broom that's coming out here?
The broom came out last
night. Yeah. To Sean's credit, before he took that broom last night out, he was saying it before the series started, was picking a Yankee sweep.
And you knew I was questioning the Kansas City series. I just felt it in my bones with this series. It's they're better than we exercised the Royal Demons.
I think the Yankees are better than the Guardians, too. I don't know if I fully agree that this thing is going to be just a clean sweep. Like, I think the Guardians are going to put up a fight, and I think they'll win a game, maybe two.
Five runs.
You know, I get it. The Yankee pitching's been great.
Well, that's the thing. What makes you think that it's not going to continue to be great?
Well, I think that Clark Schmidt and Luisio, especially Luisio, hasn't pitched in a while. Like, I'm not necessarily sure how effective he's going to be. And I do think at some point, like Sean's point is, they've used the same kind of three relievers over and over again. They've been great. Like, when Ian Hamilton has to come into a game, how effective is he? Mm-hmm. Look, I just think that it's very tough to sweep a team. So I don't necessarily think, as well as it's looked for the Yankees through the first two games, that it's just going to be a clean sweep.
But it also hasn't been perfect, especially offensively for the Yankees. At some point, it will be.
So you think it's a sweep?
I do, actually.
Okay, that's fine. It's on the table.
Who let the brooms out?
Who? 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 Who let? I like that. Please take that song and make it yours. That's all yours. That's all yours, baby. Pat's in Weston, Connecticut. What's up, Pat?
Hey there, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, dude?
I just wanted to say, tomorrow's my 65th birthday, and I'm a longtime Yankee fan.
Look at you.
65 tomorrow.
Yeah.
So in my life, I have seen 7 World Series. Two more, if you count when I was 2 and 3, probably sitting on my father's lap in 61 and 62. But I'm not cocky, because in my lifetime, I've been through 3 different times where the Yankees haven't won a World Series for 12 years. 3 different times. So you be excited about these times, because once you're getting older, you don't know when it's going to happen again.
That's a good way to look at it.
I'm pumped up, but I'm ready.
Yeah, it should be.
You've been waiting a while. I mean, that's a long drought you've been dealing with. Meanwhile, Jet fans are sitting there like, are you freaking kidding me?
What's he talking about?
Knick fans are like, what?
12 years?
12 years.
John 12 years? Take your 12 years. I'll give you 58.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is.
John is in Old Bridge. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All's good.
What's up?
All right. So, Evan, on your podcast, and on Twitter, I saw you had the chant for Ohtani, where's your bookie?
Yes.
And I think I have a better one.
Go ahead.
Let me give you the... So the chant is just the word gambler, right? Just gambler.
Gambler.
And let me give you the reason why.
Yes.
So, number one, when is the chant usually going on? It's usually going on from when the pitch, before the pitch, to when either the ball's hit or the ball's caught.
Right.
Now we got the pitch clock. We got to be quick. One word, nice and simple. And also, another reason, I looked at the translation in Japanese.
Yes.
The word gambler sounds and is spelt very similar how it is in Japanese.
Uh-huh.
English, so I think you'd have a better understanding than of where's your bookie.
So here's the key to all this, John. I am not particular about what the chant needs to be. Yeah. I suggested where's your bookie only because I was just thinking of ideas. And clearly we have to go after the gambling aspect of Shohei Ohtani. All I want is for us to be unified. Whether it's gambler or where's your bookie, when there are 44,000 crazed Met fans at Citi Field, we need to remind Shohei Ohtani, we need to remind Fox, the pseudo-Dodger broadcast, and we need to remind this commissioner that we don't forget. And I want them to hear us, and I want to hear loudly. So whether it's where's your bookie, whether it's gambler, I don't really care, okay? We all just need to be unified in chanting something at Shohei Ohtani for two reasons. Number one, send the message that you can't just tell us to not care about a scandal and say it's, well, we investigated, we're good. Well, and second of all, I think it could get to Ohtani. I think it could get into his head, so why not try?
Well, if you're trying to be specific and you want him to understand, forget where's your bookie or gambler. Just chant, I pay.
That's good, too. I'm not against any of this. The thing is, we need to be unified as we're heading into Citi Field.
Never thought about the irony of his name being iPay with owing all those debts, huh?
iPay, that's good. I didn't think about that either. So we got options. The point is, tonight at Citi Field.
Something clever, and I wasn't even thinking about it being clever.
That's true.
I pay, you pay, we all pay for
ice cream.
I pay, where's your bookie? Gambler. Either way, Shohei Ohtani needs to hear from people tonight at Citi Field. The quartet of sports insanity continues here in New York. Yankees win last night. They're two wins away from a World Series appearance for the first time since 2009. The Mets play game three of the NLCS later tonight against the LA Dodgers. And the New York Giants begin Eagles week. And we did get the unfortunate news earlier this morning. We're not surprised by it. We talked about it a lot late in the show yesterday that Andrew Thomas had a negative development with this Lisfranc Frank injury that he has. And it is now official that Andrew Thomas is going to miss the remainder of the season. And A, you feel awful for Andrew Thomas. Right, and B, terrible. This is a very difficult blow for the New York Giants.
It's a huge blow because currently, and this is what was reported earlier today, Josh Azudu is playing left tackle for the New York Giants. And we all can remember last year when Andrew Van Winkle basically came Van Winkle is what I'm thinking of. Andrew Van Ginkle came untouched and laid into Daniel Jones. And probably what led to his neck issue or stinger, whatever it ultimately turned out to be. But you worry about the blind side for your starting quarterback with Josh Azudu there. Now, it means the schemes will have to be a lot different. You have to put a tight end over there a lot, maybe put your back on that side, but there's got to be an influence to help the left side, which changes everybody's blocking assignment.
Is there a better option than Josh Azudu?
I told you yesterday, Evan Neal was a left tackle in college. Put him at left tackle and see if he's more natural there than he was at right tackle. I think part of it last year was coaching. As much as we, you know, don't know about what Bobby Johnson taught him, there were just too many moments of him standing around looking lost. I mean, it was every week. Every week, you'd be like, why is he standing there blocking nobody? And to me, that's coaching. So with a different coach and maybe a different urgency, he's okay at left tackle. But at least you'd know. At least you'll know whether or not you have something.
Well, it becomes a sink or swim moment for Evan Neal. Yes. I mean, I think we all basically assume he's just a bust and it is what it is, but he's on the roster.
And he's a first-round pick from 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'll tell you something crazy. Maybe I'm nuts for saying, or maybe you actually agree with me. See, Sean, super Giant fan. I would actually have more faith in Evan Neal working out at left tackle than Josh Azudu would.
Oh, I don't think so.
Was that too much? I take it a step too far?
Why do you not think so?
Personally, because he took the same amount of games played at left tackle and right tackle in college. He did play left tackle. Maybe that was more natural to him.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling he's so far cooked in the way he, you know, moves his feet and everything, where at least Josh Azudu had some versatility. He wasn't terrible in the Arizona game last year.
No.
You think he was?
No, he was. He wasn't. You're right.
But that was the first game he played,
I want to make this very clear.
Sieve.
I wouldn't do either of these. I would move Illuminor to left tackle and play Evan Neal at right tackle, where at least I know Jermaine Illuminor has been steady enough at tackle that I don't think it'll be a disaster on the blind side. And I've seen the Giants make the playoffs in an offense that featured Evan Neal at right tackle. So I'm like stripping down the studs and going with that basis.
Right.
But if they're not, and they're going to leave Illuminor, I guess give me Azudu. I'm done with Neal at that point.
Yeah, this sucks, man, because I think if we were power ranking the best football players on the New York Giants, to me it's just a debate between Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence. Now, there was a negative report on Dexter Lawrence earlier today that he wasn't practicing, same with Brian Burns, but both are going to play on Sunday, right?
Both are going to play. Okay. Both have quieted all that noise. They just need a little rest or rehab on that. This is an important stat, too. This from Bobby Skinner talking Giants. The last 2 years, the Giants' points per game With Andrew Thomas, the Giants scored 19.9 points per game. By the way, still not great.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Without Andrew Thomas, the Giants score 11.4 points per game. So their points per game goes down by 8 points not having Andrew
Thomas. I mean, it makes sense. He's one of the best left tackles in football, and you're replacing him with a well below average player.
Right. The same thing happened with good teams that lose their left tackle. The San Francisco 49ers were in a similar boat when Trent Williams missed a couple of games. They lost both of those games.
Right.
Brock Purdy looked terrible. So the left tackle, as much as we've maybe marginalized how we talk about them as much as we used to be like the thing. Like, you have to have a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most important positions in football.
No question.
And the Eagles will not have their left tackle on Sunday either.
And I think what also sucks is that the Giant offensive line had actually been intact this year. All five guys had played every game together.
Yep.
And this was the first time in a really long time where, as much as you may complain about aspects of the Giants, one aspect you were not complaining about was their offensive line. The other thing that needs to at least be discussed, and I think it's crazy. I admit, I raise my hand and I say, if this is what Sean's going to come to, I think he's nuts. And I know there's a lot of Giant fans listening who are thinking this. There are... or is an injury guarantee in Daniel Jones's contract. The best I understand it is that if Daniel Jones got hurt this year and was not cleared to come back during the summer, the Giants would be on the hook for $23 million guaranteed. And so, kind of like what Denver did last year, once they realized, all right, we're done, we're not going to risk playing Russell Wilson because there was a $37 million guarantee for him. So it is a thing that we talked about during the summer as potentially being a factor once the Giants are out of it. And if the Giants are out of it and they're sitting there with 8 or 9 losses, I'm with you. Why would you risk playing the guy who's not going to be on the team next year and risking a cap casualty that goes along with it? But you're 2-4. You're not buried.
Nope.
It's not over. And as much as one may not like or believe in Daniel Jones, he is clearly their best option at quarterback compared to Drew Lock and Tommy's Tommy DeVito. So I get the fear, but you can't be scared.
No.
You can't coach or GM scared. If he gets hurt because Josh's Zudu is protecting his blind side, that sucks, man. And you shrug your shoulders.
Yeah, well,
but the idea that you can bench Daniel Jones now is lunacy.
Right, it's not to me. It's not even about that. But the idea that you're just going to risk it, not only your quarterback getting hurt, but just decreasing your chance to win.
Well,
that's the biggest. That's the biggest issue.
And a step further, forget decrease the chance to win, because you know me, right? Ultimately, I'm going to cope with these losses and be all right, knowing if it gets them to the top of the draft. What I've done this for a long time, right?
Yeah, but then what are you taking? Tackle?
No. I'm hoping one of these quarterbacks. But this is where I'm setting it up. What is still viably important for the Giants this year to come away from the rest of the season is no Malik Nabers, Wandell Robinson, Tyrone Tracy, Theo Johnson, the core of what the offensive weapons are going to be. They need the rest of this year to develop. And if Daniel Jones gives it the best option for them to develop, I don't want to stunt the development of the rest of these guys.
But you got to make a promise. Can you raise your, is it your left hand or your right hand?
It's right hand.
Right hand.
How do you know where he's going with this?
Because you got to raise your right hand to make a promise.
In court, they go, raise your right hand, and your left hand goes on the Bible. Have you ever watched Law & Order or any of these things?
I actually have never watched Law & Order.
Really?
Excuse me?
Not a fan.
Because you can't keep score of it.
No, it doesn't interest me. I mean, I have other shows I'm interested in.
You never accidentally watched it? I mean, there's 100 seasons. It's on every half hour.
And a ton of different iterations.
Yeah, SVU.
SVU is my favorite.
I like organized crime now.
No. Mm-hmm. Lost, watch that.
Lost?
Seinfeld, watch that.
Lost me after... like the second season.
No, I agree. It went downhill. Homeland. I enjoyed Homeland. Like, there's a lot of TV shows Homeland I like that great. I don't score necessarily. I'm just not a big fan of Law & Order.
But she annoyed me.
Who are you talking about?
Because she was
Claire Danes.
Claire Danes. Because she was so good at her job, her role.
Yeah.
It annoyed me.
You know what annoyed me about her?
What's that?
Kept sleeping with everybody.
Huh.
I didn't like that.
Well, she had an issue, right?
She had a sex issue?
And no. On the,
is that what you're telling me?
On the show, she had what was it? Schizophrenia or something?
I never saw the show.
What?
I've only seen the clips of the stuff you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
When she was like, I only saw this.
Like she played her role perfectly.
No, she's a great actress.
And so it was annoying to me, her character.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I didn't like the character, not the actress. She was a great actress.
Oh, no, I love her as an actress.
I would tell you.
But I'm saying she's so good at it, her character annoyed me like it was supposed to annoy me.
Well, that's when you know you're doing a good job.
Yes.
I think that Mandy Patinkin?
The CIA director?
That guy pulled off one of the great acting jobs of all time. And I'll go a step further. The first season of Homeland, just the first season, is the greatest season of TV ever constructed.
Wow.
Period.
It's a bold statement.
Oh, I put it up
Soprano
there.
Soprano fans are going to get on you.
That's fine. They have an overrated show that they like. That's fine.
Don't do that.
I'm telling you, the first, and it went bad after that. Like, I'm not saying I love Homeland. I gave up on it by season three.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest complaint my wife had is the bad guys kept winning. Like, eventually, it's like, can we get a happy ending? Like, what are we doing here? So,
stop. Careful over there.
Anyhow, why did I bring this whole thing up?
So you wanted Sean to give the truth, nothing but the truth, the whole truth.
Thank you, Tommy. Sean, you can't handle the truth. I want you to raise your hand.
All right.
And I want Giant fans to raise their hands, too, unless they're driving, because they need to be careful.
All right.
Tiki's raising his hand. Lugie's raising his hand. I'm not worried about you guys, but you should still raise your hands. No matter what happens to Daniel Jones over the next few weeks due to injury, you cannot complain about the decision to start him because you admitted he gives you the best chance to win and you want to develop your wide receivers.
I can't remember.
I don't want it.
I can't do that.
I can't remember all of that.
Well, not only that, there's a caveat.
What's the caveat?
All right. I went to bed last night distraught about Andrew Thomas but happy about the Yankees, and I woke up with new life. Carmen Brasillo has changed everything about this offensive line, and I'm going to hope that he does wonders and at least gets Josh Azudu up to, like, playable, even if not great.
I agree. There's something, like, you can see. But I looked at last night ahead of SNY, my Tuesdays with Tiki on SNY.
Oh, nice point.
The pressure rate and the sack percentage of the Giants from a year ago till last year. Do you know what it was last year?
What's up?
14%.
Really?
So 14% of the dropbacks, he's getting sacked. Not hit, but also hit, but sacked.
Right.
This year, it's 6.
Wow.
It's
cut in half.
It's cut in half in the middle of the road in the NFL.
So I say that to say, if on Sunday versus the Philadelphia Eagles, it's bad, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josh Azudu cannot play, and you know maybe he gets bench Evan Neal. They cannot play, and we know that this is going to be bad, bad.
Bryce Huff looks like an NFL player.
Right. All I'm saying is... I might be on the airwaves here on Monday or Tuesday going, I'm not there yet, you got to rapidly do
this. I'm not talking necessarily about you changing your mind as the season goes on, because I think there can be a moment where even I would come on, maybe even you, Tiki, where we say, you know what? This is a disaster.
Okay.
Jones is going to get killed.
Yep.
You can't play him.
So if he gets killed Sunday?
If he gets crushed Sunday because Josh Azudu can't protect him from me, you can't Monday morning quarterback this and say, well, the injury guarantee. Oh, what are we doing?
No, that I would raise my hand in, because I'm still with give it Jones a go and let me see what Brasillo's done.
There's going to come a point. Like, Tommy Lugauer has been a big Tommy DeVito guy, and I've said this to him since the beginning of the season. While I've disagreed with him about starting Tommy DeVito, I've always said, if this season goes bad, you will get your wish.
I don't shine shoes anymore.
And there'll even be a moment where I come on the air and say, I'm with Tommy. Like, why not? We're just not there yet. We may get there, depending on the Giants' wins and losses. We may get there based on the O-line play. We may get there by Daniel not being able to stay healthy.
Right.
As of this moment, though, we all have to know the risks going in. There's an injury guarantee attached to this. Their offensive line has taken a major hit losing Andrew Thomas. But we still need to see Jones play despite those added concerns.
Yeah, I think you probably have 3 more losses below 500. So you're 5 games under 500 at some point in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
That's when you make the move?
That's when you make the move.
See, to me, the number is more like 8 or 9 losses because I need to have
so
the
season
math.
Done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because before that.
You assume you win out at some point?
Yes. I did that last year with you guys. Don't you remember?
Yeah, and you were wrong.
It doesn't matter if I'm wrong. I had a chance to be right. I don't believe in giving up on a season. See, I'm consistent. You like to think I'm just some kind of weird fanboy. No, I'm consistent about this. I don't give up on seasons until it's over.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I won't predict to you that things are going to go bad, but I'm not going to make decisions that decrease my chances of winning until my season is over.
We're going to have time because the Giants are winning Sunday, so we're going to have time.
I like that attitude.
I am not boarding those buses at Mulcahy's and going to that parking lot for 3 hours and then going into the Meadowlands and walking out of there a loser again. I've decided The Giants are winning Sunday, whether they like it or not.
Mm. Wow. Nice. Yesterday, he was about to cry on the radio, Teague. Now, he's all pumped up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still down on the playoff prospects, but they're winning Sunday.
The playoff prospects, you were down because the left tackle was down.
We got Carmen Brasillo, and we got me and that lot with beers. Okay. We're winning the game.
Forget about playoff prognostications. This is your Super Bowl. Like, seriously. This is, I hate to take a regular season game and make it that big. But you got Snaquan, is that what you call him, Snaquan?
It's Snaquan Barkley.
You got Snaquan Barkley, he's dead to us, coming back to MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. Who, by the way, isn't sure if he's going to get booed.
Yeah, he's not sure.
I mean, okay. My God.
Okay, Snaquan. You've got a head coach that's like teetering. He's teetering on being fired. This is Super Bowl-esque in the middle of October. So I'm glad to see you have optimism.
Yeah.
Was it my pep talk yesterday?
Yeah, and you know what? I've walked out of there a loser too many times. It's on me. A little page from positive Tom.
Yeah.
I will lead the Giants Sunday.
You like that, Teague?
Yeah, since Tommy's not leading the Giants.
Yeah, he's leading the Jets.
Yes.
You're right. I lead the Giants once Tommy DeVito is the quarterback. Can I do a long-term prediction here?
Of course.
Tommy DeVito will be the quarterback Thanksgiving Giants-Cowboys. And I'm all here for that. That just writes itself.
DeVito will be quarterback.
That would be interesting.
Thanksgiving, for Tommy sure. DeVito.
I don't know if I agree.
The money goth before the turkey. I'm all here for it. I'm playing the soprano clip from here to Kingdom Come.
If long as you're here for it, you could literally be here for it. Do Evan and Tiki at 2 o'clock.
We actually are. We're working on Thanksgiving. Lukey and I were talking about that the other day. Tiki's on board. Like, we're all doing that.
Some of us work. Like, we're workers. You're not, clearly. You're not. Go to games and film yourself. We actually put in the hard work. We're like, you know, the grinders here.
Are you working Thanksgiving with us? Because me, Lukey, and Tiki have already said yes.
Yes, but my point was, you know, if Tommy really feels that way, he could do it solo.
No, we're all working. Why are we all taking off now?
He doesn't need to take off.
Where are we? Yeah. Where are we here? Yeah. There's no I in positive Tommy. Oh, actually, there is a couple eyes, but there's no I in Tiki. Oh, wait, there is an I.
There's two of them, actually.
Let's go to Jonathan and Shirley. What's up, Jonathan?
Evan, Tiki, how are you?
Good, man.
Good, man. What's up?
I would like to propose a truce between Yankee and Mets fans, similar to, Evan, you would like this, a little Planet of the Apes reference.
Oh.
Either Cobra handshake.
I like
a little truce until the final battle, till the betrayal has to happen. And we have to root against each other. And we have to go to war with each other. But let's enjoy the good times. This is, right now, is the times we look back and go, oh, I wish we were back in the good old days. These are the good old days, Yankee fans.
Back when
we were
friends.
These are the good old days, Mets fans. Let's do it. Let's have a handshake. But then let's get to the betrayal stage, and let's do it.
All right. Can we do this? You want to shake hands, everybody? Let's have Lugie and Sean do it, because Lugie's a Met fan who's a Yankee hater, and Sean is a Yankee fan who's a Met hater.
No.
I'm very IBO-like, and Tiki, of course, is very independent as well.
Stop saying
that. So can Sean and Lugie shake hands for a very poetic Met-Yankee truce?
Yes, truce until the Subway Series.
Or until the Mets get eliminated. Mm. Go ahead. Shake your hands. Can you do that?
I'm good.
You won't shake his hand?
No, I'm good.
Don't be the arrogant Yankee fan.
It's not being arrogant.
Shake the hand.
It's not being arrogant.
You're not kissing the ring. You're just shaking the hand.
I'm far about my own. I care so little about the Mets, I can't even care to have a truce with him.
Yeah.
And I have no problem shaking Sean's hand because Positive Tommy has seen the script. I've already seen what's going to happen in a couple weeks. So I have no issues shaking hands.
So then why aren't you guys shaking hands? This would be symbolic for the Met and Yankee fans in our community to see two faces like yourself shaking hands and embracing and giving us all a symbolic Yankee-Met truce.
Let the record show here, my hand is out right now.
Tommy's hand is out. Sean?
I am showing Yankee fans, we don't care about the Mets. The Met fan cares about the Yankees. I will not shake hands.
It's not about
caring.
That's
arrogant to not care.
Thank you, T.
It's not arrogant.
I'm making a neighbor.
There are certain... And you know what? Sometimes you have neighbors that call the cops if the music's too loud. I'm not doing
and
it.
If you're cool with the cops, they just said, hey, we just had to show up. You're good.
And they do at my house. But I'm not doing it.
You won't even shake the man's hand?
I haven't rooted against the Mets, haven't anything, but we're not shaking hands.
Wow. All right, let the record
show.
You're not
shaking hands for anything other than civility. That's all we're talking about.
Sometimes I live in the chaos.
I mean, my God, like Donald Trump and Kamala Harris shook hands before their debate.
She forced it.
It doesn't matter who. Look, Tommy's trying to force it. But the bottom line was, when Kamala came over to force it, Donald said, okay.
You think Pence and Donald are shaking hands?
Kamala Loogie just offered Trump Moresh's hand, and you're saying no. I'm very disappointed in you.
Wrong.
Wow, all right. Let the record show the Met fan offered the hand, and the Yankee fan arrogantly said, I care so little about you, I won't shake
it.
I
came from a working class family on Long Island. You don't have to shake my hand now, Sean, but you will shake my hand in a couple weeks when we are outside in Manhattan. Then you will shake my hand. Wow. So you don't want to shake it here, that's fine, but you will shake it at some point.
Wow.
Okay. You know what? You're right. I will.
Witnesses, evidence.
No, I'm witnessing. I just... The trash talk makes me feel very uncomfortable, Tiki.
I know, right?
Mets are in a 1-1 NLCS, and I got this guy over here saying, I will shake that hand. Come, the Canyon of Heroes.
We'll see you in this World Series.
It just dawned on me. I realize why so many Met fans are upset about the Yankees' road.
Why?
Because we're 2 wins away from them not being able to say, you know, we've been to a World Series more recently.
Stop.
Listen, Sean, you very disrespectful. The guy offered you a hand, and you said no.
First of all, we'll seen him pick his nose back here, too.
Well, that's you know what? That's a different issue. Chris is in Manhattan. How are you, Chris?
Great, guys. I'm so excited for the game tonight. The boys are back in town.
Yeah.
Evan, I got a comment, and I have one chance to see what you guys think. My comment is, I'm sick and tired of watching this Fox broadcast and watching that stupid graphic that says, Ohtani is 6 batters away. I don't want to see that. Mark Vientos has a better postseason stats than Ohtani. If they do that tonight, which of course they will, that's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah, it's you know what's tricky about this, Chris?
Why are they doing that?
They're doing that because Major League Baseball and Fox believes that eyeballs want to see Shohei Ohtani. And if they're promoting,
this isn't Barry Bonds trying to hit 70 home runs.
Well, they think he is in terms of people wanting to see him. Right or wrong, by the way. I'm just telling you, they think that it's like a TV show, or even our show, teasing, hey, coming up at 4 o'clock, Bad Tiki's coming on. We believe, maybe we're wrong, Teak, people want to hear Bad Tiki.
But it's not,
so it's the same thing, it's a tease.
But it's once a week. It's like football. It's different. It's not every... You know, 4 innings or 3 innings.
It's 4 times a game, yes.
Right, that's absurd and obnoxious.
So I'm very mixed about this, because you're right, it's absurd and obnoxious. Like, you're not wrong with what you said. As a Met fan, absurd and obnoxious.
Right.
But I think
I think as a casual baseball fan, it's absurd and obnoxious.
I disagree with you about this. Major League Baseball has done a terrible job of promoting their game. We all agree with that, right?
Of course.
Okay. I think they feel they have a megastar in Shohei Ohtani.
No, they don't feel. They know they have a megastar in Shohei Ohtani. It's not even about that.
No, promote all about that.
But promote the game.
No, but it's all about that.
So because you want, hey guys, leave, come back and check on us, and we'll tell you how soon before Shohei Ohtani is up to bat.
They're assuming that people will flip around anyway. It's kind of like they're telling you, hey, Ohtani's coming up. He's only 3 batters away. Maybe you'll hang out in the meantime.
Evan, so hear yourself. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is, I'm gonna tell you when you should come back. But until then, forget our sport. Forget our game. It means nothing.
Yeah.
Anything else great that happens in between Shohei Ohtani's at bats, who gives a crap?
That's a good point.
It's just ignorant.
So you think
stupid.
It's bad? Forget about the methodology thing. You think it's bad TV?
It's ultimately bad promotion of your product that you're trying to air.
I got you.
Fair enough. Doesn't make any sense.
No, fair enough. I thought of it when I saw it, because they've been doing this for a while. I thought of it. I tried to take my fandom outside of it, because obviously, as Met fans, it's obnoxious. What the hell do we care about Shohei Ohtani? We're trying to beat him.
By the way, I like watching Shohei Ohtani. I mean, not against the Mets, but I would love to just see Shohei Ohtani. But it's the NLCS,
right? But guess what?
We're talking about your second or third biggest series, depending on which one you think is bigger, the AL or NL. But
well, Mets-Dodgers, game one of the NLCS, and it was a blowout, had the highest-rated LCS game,
right?
Game one since 2009. Well,
and probably that's
so they're telling you that people care.
And a lot of that's because of the OMG Mets, but also because of Ohtani.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a combination of both. I think Fox and Major League Baseball got probably their best-rated potential NLCS. I think it's obnoxious, too. But I also can't be a hypocrite and say baseball does a terrible job promoting their game, and then when they try to promote their game in a creative way that maybe we don't care about, crap on that too.
I just think it disincentivizes you from paying attention.
Yeah, because it does tell you, if the guy's 5 batters away, maybe I can tune out.
Yes.
Look, here's the reality. Shohei Ohtani is their freaking golden boy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more I want as a Met fan than A, to shut him down, but B, get in his head. Mm-hmm. And that's why tonight we got a chant at him. Whether it's, where's your bookie? I got one from my neighbor. My neighbor said, you know the overrated chant?
Yeah.
He says, how about over, under? Over, under. That's not bad either.
That's a good one.
That's clever.
Look, there's a lot of good ones. The point is, at 8:08 tonight at Citi Field, we need to be unified. One thing I'm confident we will all be unified, even if one particular guy in this country disagrees, is that Sunday at 1 o'clock, there's a certain Philadelphia Eagle who's going to get his ass booed out of the building. We try to figure out why Saquon Barkley doesn't actually think that's going to happen. That plus more of your calls. The Yankees are up 2-0. The Mets get set for a huge game 3. And Devontae Adams is officially a Jet. A lot to discuss at 888-808-1019.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.